Chapter 11
Stephen Colgan, wallop the fecking thing, wallop it!
D.I. Fintan O'Rourke heard Bunny McGarry a long time before he saw him. He was parking his car up on Philpot Street when Bunny's distinctive cork bellow carried over the wall. Fintan double-checked all of the doors, because he, of all people, knew that in this area you couldn't be too careful. The Celtic Tiger economy may have been raging all around it, but Philpot Street remained steadfastly Philpot Street. Flats dominated it, always looking down in the mouth and overdue a paint job. At its centre sat St. Jude's Hurling Club. It had only been set up a couple of years before, on a playing field vacated when a private school decided it would rather bus its progeny out to the suburbs than play on sports facilities it found inadequate for their needs. The land had belonged to the council, and McGarry had nipped in before any redevelopment deals could be sewn up. O'Rourke looked up at the wall, over which the sound of ash clattering against ash could be heard, mingled with occasional cheers of support and grunts of exertion. Above it all rose the voice of Bunny McGarry.
Dennis O'Malley, stop chasing the feckin' ball around. You're a full back, not a Yorkshire Terrier.
Fintan passed through the gates, such as they were. Club was a grand title for St. Jude's. It was one pitch and a couple of porter cabins. Graffiti, mostly unimaginative in both style and content, marked the wall at random intervals. The porter cabins were the worse for it. Someone had tried to distract from what was clearly an enormous cock and balls drawn on the side of one of the structures with the strategic placement of a couple of posters advertising a jumble sale that had already happened. While preteen boys in helmets that looked way too big for them inexpertly hacked a ball back and forth on the field, various knots of parents stood around watching on. Bunny McGarry stood at halfway, red-faced and bellowing. There was notably nobody standing within 20 feet of him, save for one tubby ginger kid who was dunking the top of his hurling stick into the bucket that sat at his feet.
Davy Ryan, you're the goalie! You're the goalie, son! What are you looking at me so confused for? Are you in the goal right now? We'll get back there!
Bunny turned to the child standing beside him.
You heard me, Decky. Didn't I say to him before the match, just stay in the goal? How hard is that?
He has no understanding of the nuances of the game, boss.
You're not wrong, Decky. You're not wrong.
Do you want me to tie his leg to one of the posts again, boss?
Bunny gave the child a look.
No, Decky. Remember we talked about this. You can't do that.
Yes, boss. Sorry, boss.
Good instincts, though. Philip Nellis, what are you doing sitting down? The ball is in play. I don't care how far away it is. You're playing the fastest team sport on the planet. Get up, wake up, and buck up.
The ginger kid looked behind him to see Fintan O'Rourke standing there. He tugged at Bunny's sleeve.
Boss, the pigs are here.
Bunny turned, an expression of surprise crossing his face. He looked down at the boy.
Dickie, what have I told you? It's the Garda Síochána, and you will say that with respect, as I am one too.
I won't tell anyone, boss.
Bunny looked exasperated.
I'm not trying to keep it a secret. Ah, for feck's sake, ref!
Around midfield, multiple members of both teams had just shambled into each other and descended into a flailing crescendo of limbs and accusation. The referee was blowing his whistle repeatedly, but seemed to be having little effect on proceedings.
Jackie, sponge time. Go easy on the magic juice. We're running low.
The fat kid saluted and huffed onto the field, the precious bucket held in front of him in two hands. O'Rourke moved forward to stand beside Bunny.
Magic juice?
It's just water with a bit of lemon in it, but they think it works wonders.
Right, said Fintan, a smile on his lips. And which lot are yours?
Bunny looked sideways at him, indignation etched on his face.
Which do you think?
Fintan nodded his head. Of course. The ones in the red of Cork, naturally. Even without that, he might have known. The team in blue had noticeably better gear, and all their jerseys matched perfectly, as opposed to the St. Jude's kit, which looked rather patched and mended, showing the strain here and there.
So, said Bunny, I didn't know you were a fan of under-12s hurling, Fintan.
I'm not. No disrespect. I came to talk to you.
Bunny turned his head back towards the field.
Sorry, Inspector, but I'm a bit busy at the moment. Could you not have given me a ring or something?
I couldn't locate your number this morning when I went looking for it.
Yeah, you must have deleted it. I've certainly not heard from you in long enough.
I've been busy, and you didn't exactly cover yourself in glory the last time we met.
Bunny flapped his hand above his head in exasperation.
For the last fecking time, that swan came at me like a bloody...
Relax, said O'Rourke. I'm not here to talk about that. I'm on my way into town to finalise the names for the task force, and DS Spain informed me yesterday that you do not wish to be on it. Is he correct?
Bunny didn't even look at him.
That's correct. Thanks, but no thanks. Come on, lads, here we go. Concentrate!
Everyone having regained their feet and their composure, the referee was preparing to throw the slitter in again. Decky waddled back towards them, still in possession of the bucket and magic sponge. He gave a thumbs up.
All good, boss.
It was a matter of 8 seconds between the ball going back into play and it sailing over the St. Jude's bar for a point.
Holy Mary on a moped! Philip Nellis, will you throw yourself in front of the ball? No pain, no gain, son. The rest of ye stay in your positions. At least that way the ball might hit off ye by accident on its way to the goal.
Boss,
said Decky.
The ball's gone out on the road.
Oh, crap. Can you go and get it?
Decky sighed.
On my way, boss.
Good lad.
Bunny picked up a slitter from the kit bag beside him and hurled it onto the field.
Be careful with this. It's our last one.
Bunny, said O'Rourke. I need an answer.
Bunny glanced briefly at O'Rourke, clearly annoyed.
You already have one.
I mean an explanation.
For feck's sake, Fintan, can't this wait?
No. I have a meeting with the Commissioner in 40 minutes.
I don't want the assignment. Simple. And for exactly the reason that you want me. You know Donald Carter and I have a bit of history.
I do.
The Clanavale Estate was one of your first beats in Dublin, wasn't it?
I'm guessing you know the answer to that already. Now, do you mind? I'm trying to coach a game here. Come on, lads, keep it going!
Oh, for God's sake, Bunny, just give me 1 minute of your time, please. You're clearly losing this thing anyway.
Bunny turned so fast that O'Rourke took a step back.
What the hell are you talking about? We're up by 6.
Despite his lack of interest, O'Rourke couldn't keep the surprise from his voice.
Really?
The St. Jude's goalie, Davy Ryan, hopped the ball up to restart the game and belted it with everything he had, sending it careening towards midfield. It was then that a slight kid, who'd done nothing up until this point that O'Rourke had seen, effortlessly fielded the ball off his hurl while sending two opponents the wrong way. He then soloed it up the field, the ball seemingly glued to his stick as he wove effortlessly between three defenders, before pulling back and in one fluid motion, sending it 30 yards through the air to sail over the opposition bar. Spontaneous applause broke out. Some of it, O'Rourke noticed, coming from the parents on the opposition sideline.
"Beautiful stuff, Polly Mulcrone! Beautiful! Keep it going, son! Everyone else, be more like Polly!"
"Wow," said O'Rourke.
"Finest pure striker of the ball you'll ever see. Going to play for the county."
There was then a break in play, as Decky had yet to return with his ball and the other one had skated onto the tall grass at the end of the field. The opposition goalie and the referee were leading a search party. As the players from both sides took this as a signal to sit down, chat or bug their parents, Bunny turned to Fintan O'Rourke and looked him square in the eye.
"Tommy Carter may well have turned into a grade A villainous little viper, and I hope you get him and his crew. But his da is a good man, and I don't want to be put in that situation, all right?"
Bunny moved closer and jabbed a finger as he spoke.
"I know why you want me there, Fintan. When that shower of scumbags decided to burn Carter's house to the ground, it was me that went in and got his kids out. I did the same as you or any other Garda would have done. So let's not make it into something bigger than it was."
"But it was you," said Fintan. "And we can use that."
"Not interested."
"I need to unsettle Tommy Carter. So yes, I'm going to use every bit of leverage I can get."
"Last I heard," said Bunny, "Donald Carter was a sick man. Kidneys or something. You have to take his son, fine. But Donald is a decent fella. All he wanted to do was get the drugs out of the estate, and he did. If we'd been better at our jobs, he'd not have needed to."
Bunny turned back towards the field. O'Rourke grabbed his arm and spun him around.
"Christ, you're an obstinate so-and-so, McGarry. Fine, so be it. I'm going to tell you the one piece of information that nobody knows aside from myself, the Commissioner, O'Shea and Cunningham. We don't want to tip our hand to Carter. I'm trusting you to keep this to yourself."
Bunny gave O'Rourke a long look and then nodded. O'Rourke lowered his voice further.
"The reason we're squeezing Tommy Carter now is that we have it on very good authority that he's about to change business. He's made a deal. We don't know where or when, but we know he has a massive shipment of cocaine coming in."
"Bollocks!"
"No, it isn't. I can show you the communications from the DEA in America. Apparently one of his ex-Army Ranger buddies knows some ex-Special Forces boys in the States who've gone into business for themselves. Tommy isn't his dad, and as you said yourself, Daddy isn't well. In fact, the doctors give him about 2 months at the most if they can't get a kidney, and that's not looking promising. Once he's gone, Tommy doesn't care. He's going to flood the Dublin market with cheap coke and kick off a bloody drug war the likes of which you've never seen."
"Bush,"
said Bunny, clearly struggling to fit all this together.
"After all they've been through."
"That's exactly it," said O'Rourke. "You may have pulled young Tommy and his sister out of the fire, but Tommy hasn't forgiven and forgotten those that set it. His dad was anti-drugs, but Tommy is anti a couple of very particular drug dealers, the ones who tried to barbecue him."
"But..."
A cry of victory came up from the far end of the field,
and a girl of maybe 8 years old held the ball aloft in her hand. Bunny turned back towards the field.
All right, lads. Look sharp. Keep it going.
The opposition restarted the game.
Larry Dodds, get your finger out of your nostril and watch the play.
Decky reappeared beside Bunny, the other ball clutched in his hand.
He's no appreciation for the nuances of the game, boss.
You're not wrong, Decky. You're not wrong.
Bunny, said O'Rourke, are you going to ignore what I just said?
The ball made its way to the far side of the field, where the Mulcrone kid intercepted a pass and got raked across the legs for his trouble.
Referee!
A 12-year-old's version of a scuffle broke out, with a lot of pushing and shoving, while the referee almost blew himself to a coronary trying to maintain control.
Right, said Bunny. Time to use the bench.
Decky nodded, picked up his helmet, and began strapping it on. Bunny whacked the top of his helmet and bent down to look him in the eye.
I'm sending you on for days. I want you to mark their number 12 out of the game.
Decky nodded.
He's bigger than you, taller than you, faster than you, but you've got something he hasn't got.
Decky's chubby face lit up.
You're not wrong, boss.
He pulled what appeared to be a homemade knuckle duster out of the pocket of his tracksuit.
What the shit in hell, Decky?
Bunny snatched it from him.
This is completely illegal.
It's not, boss. I looked up the rules of hurling on the internet at school. Doesn't say nothing about knuckle dusters.
What in the... This,
said Bunny, waving it in his face,
is illegal in this country, never mind in the sport. What have I told you about trying to use your initiative?
Do you know what your problem is, boss?
Said Decky as he picked up his hurley.
You've no appreciation for the nuances of the game.
Bunny and O'Rourke watched in silence as Decky ran onto the field.
Interesting kid, said O'Rourke.
Yeah, he's all right, deep down. He's just a bit over-enthusiastic, that's all.
Yeah, said O'Rourke.
How do you feel about him and all these lads growing up in a city that's about to be awash with cheap drugs? Bunny gave O'Rourke a sideways glance.
I think you've still got my number, Fintan. I think you went out of your way to ask me this here.
O'Rourke shrugged.
I'll use every bit of leverage I can get.